Hey, this is Greg Little from Bethany Baptist Church. I'm so thankful that you decided to join us on this podcast. I trust that the Lord will use it in your life to encourage you, strengthen you, and challenge you wherever you are in your walk with Him. For more information about Bethany, you can visit us online at bethanybc.ca. And now let's open our hearts and minds to what the Lord has for us.
Let's take our Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter 9, we're just going to start reading a couple verses starting in verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 9 starting in verse number 6. We were here last week and we'll be here again tonight for just a little bit. Just looking at these names, these titles of Jesus. It says in Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." We've been looking the last couple weeks, at some of the prophecies that were given to the nation of Judah, to King Ahaz, specifically through Isaiah, in the middle of a very difficult time. And these prophecies are kind of like little glimmers of hope, little glimpses of light piercing through the darkness, because it was a very dark time for the nation as, as these prophecies were given. It was a dark time spiritually. It was a dark time nationally. Just a lot of difficulty that was going on. Of course, there's a remnant of faithful people, but for the majority, it was a time of wickedness and darkness and chaos and confusion. And we've looked at that over the last couple of weeks, and so I won't belabor that point. But on top of all of that, there's no peace. And there won't be peace for quite a while. They are looking to make peace. King Ahaz, the king of Judah, is looking to Assyria for help. They're looking to Assyria to make peace, but it doesn't work. So they're trying to make this peace without God, and they realize there's no such thing. And so God comes to Ahaz, but Ahaz doesn't want him. Ahaz rejects him. He refuses him. He rebels against him. God says, "Listen, even though you refuse me, even though you rebel against me, even though you reject me, I am going to send my son anyways, and this is who my son is going to be." And we looked last week at the beginning of Isaiah chapter 9, where God reveals something to us about his son. Jesus, "I'm going to give you a son, and this is who he's going to be. He's going to be the Wonderful Counselor, the Indescribable One, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." That's who Jesus is going to be to you, the one who understands you, the one who knows you, the one who heals and guides and directs you. He's a Wonderful Counselor. He's the Mighty God, the all-powerful one who saves and sustains and protects and reigns, not just a mere man, but God himself, the Mighty God. This is who this child is going to be, this son. God with us. We looked a couple of weeks at Emmanuel. God with us. Can I just say it this way this morning? Jesus is everything that you need, and even more. Every longing that your heart has, every need that you feel, every burden that weighs you down, every trouble, every temptation, every longing has its answer in Jesus. He is everything that we need. He's what every person needs. He's what you need. He's what I need this morning. And it's interesting that even though the world knows it, even though they won't say it in those words, Isaiah gives us another title. We'll look at the everlasting Father tonight. So we're going to kind of skip over that one for now. But here at the end of verse 6, we read Isaiah gives us his title again, that he is unto us a child is given, a son is born, and he is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Now I said that even the world knows that's what it needs. They know what they're longing for. They want peace. They just don't realize that the answer to everything that they're longing for is found in Jesus. So they don't know it in those words, but Jesus is everything that everyone in this world is longing for. He is the desire of every heart. Let me give you an example. Have you ever heard the Christmas song? I'm sure you've heard it. It was done many years ago. I believe it was originally done by Stevie Wonder, called Someday at Christmas. Does anyone know that song? All right, some of you, and some of you maybe don't. Okay, Someday at Christmas, you probably heard it. You probably heard a variation of it, maybe. It's sung all the time. But I want you to just listen to the words of this song. It goes like this, and these are just some of the verses. There's more in it, but I'll just read some of it. Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys, playing with bombs like kids play with toys. He said, one warm December, our hearts will see a world where men are free. Let me ask you, what is he longing for? He's longing for peace, right? He's longing for freedom. That heart cry in that song is one day there's going to be a time of peace, a time of freedom. It goes on to say, someday at Christmas, there'll be no wars. When we have learned what Christmas is for, when we have found what life's really worth, there'll be peace on earth. Someday, all our dreams will come to be. Someday, in a world where men are free, maybe not in time for you and me, but someday at Christmas. He goes on to say, someday at Christmas, man will not fail. Hate will be gone. Love will prevail. Someday a new world that we can start with hope in every heart. Just think about those words this morning. As you think about those words, do you hear what the heart of that song is? Is that just some kind of fantasy thinking, like this utopian world, this perfect world where everything is perfect and everything is right? Or is that the heart cry of every single heart? I would suggest to you this morning that that is the dream of every person. That is the longing of their heart. And the question behind that is this: is there anyone on this earth that can make that kind of life happen? Is there anything that can make that happen? Is there a government or a person or a program that can bring about that kind of reality in our life? This is the kind of world that our hearts long for. That song is not just one man. I think that song is the cry that is etched on the heart of every single person, every human being, a desire for that kind of life, a life of freedom and peace and belonging and hope and joy. That's what people long for. And so we come to the Word of God, and that is the story that we find in the Word of God. That is the story that's woven throughout these pages, a story of peace. You know, some people think of the Bible, when they think of the Bible, they think about all these individual parts that are kind of pushed in and pressed into the mold. And you take all of these individual little pieces and put them together. And you just kind of have this, You know, you read through the Bible and it's this kind of disconnected story. As you read through all these different parts, there's like history and prophecy and poetry and gospel and epistle. And you see all of these different parts kind of disconnected, different stories jammed in together. And to some extent, there are all those different parts, but I suggest to you this morning, it is not disconnected. Different stories, different genres. But the reality is this, the Bible is one story. It is one account. And that account, that one story is woven through every page of the Bible. It brings the whole thing together. It is a story of peace. God made man in perfect righteousness, in peace, in a state of wholeness. And man disassembled it, right? God created man in perfection, in righteousness, and man destroyed it. I was thinking just this week, we were playing, I was playing games with the kids on Friday. It was their last day of school. It was a half day, and my job was to entertain the kids in the gym. And so I was playing some different games, and one of the games that we played was Hungry, Hungry Hippos. I don't know if you've ever played that before. I have a picture here. I think there's at least four of our teenagers in there, so I'm embarrassing them this morning. I embarrassed myself last week, so now it's my turn to embarrass someone else. But anyways, we were playing, and you can probably see from that picture up there that there's all these ornaments and plastic balls in the middle, and one person has to lay down. How many of you have played Hungry Hungry? I don't have to explain it to you, do I? All right, you know what it is. They grab their feet and they push them in, and they're supposed to grab as many balls as they can, and you pull them back out. We were having a good time playing that game, and those ornaments were going everywhere, and kids were going everywhere. It was a total mess, but it was a lot of fun. And I thought that all the ornaments were these plastic cheap ornaments. I didn't bring them in, by the way. These were brought to me, just so you know. So I didn't really inspect them all, but I thought they were all like these. There's plastic balls, plastic ornaments, until I was playing with the youngest class, of course. And I heard smash. And now in the middle of that thing of balls, there is just glass pieces everywhere. All over the place. And I was like, hold up, we can't play anymore. We gotta clean the whole thing up. And it was a nice Christmas ornament that was now a shattered glass ball. I mean, it went all over the place. And the younger school teachers are looking at me like I'm crazy bringing in glass balls. I had no idea it was even in there, but it's shattered, it's broken. And I could have tried to pick up that ball and put the pieces back together again, but that would have been impossible. It was shattered, it was broken, it was whole, and then someone landed on it and shattered it, and now it's completely broken. Not to be put back together again. And really, that is the story of man. God made man in that place, that state of wholeness, of completeness, and man sinned, and he shattered the whole thing. And now the story of man, through the rest of the Bible, we have creation in Genesis, we have the fall of man almost right away, and the story through the rest of the Bible is man trying to put himself back together again. Man trying to find his way back to God. But he can't do it. He's trying and he realizes that he can't. And over, you see, as you read through the pages of the Bible, you see this chaos and confusion as man tries to put himself back together again. And there's good kings and there's bad kings and there's times of revival and renewal and there's times of rebellion and judgment. And through it all, God wants peace with man. He wants to restore the relationship that was broken. He wants to bring wholeness and healing and restoration. And he wants to bring man back to himself. And he accomplishes that in the Gospels through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. You see how it's all one story making its way through? Listen, the Bible is a story about how God wants you to have peace this morning. Not just political peace, or national peace, or family peace over this Christmas season, but true, lasting, eternal peace. Let me say this, that's the only way to peace. You cannot have the peace of God this morning until you have peace with God. And that's what God wants for you. So if we're going to have that kind of peace, I think, first of all, we need to know what that kind of peace is. So notice, firstly, this morning, peace defined. How do we define peace? We talk about peace all the time. The world wants peace. There's peace treaties and peace agreements. Regional peace. World peace. Normally, when we use that word peace, or when you hear it used, normally what they mean when they say we want peace is this. We want the absence of war. Right? We want the absence of conflict. Whether it's personal peace, you know, within yourself or in your home or in your workplace or in your city or your country or your relationship with God, we want peace. We want to be able to say, I'm okay. Everything's okay. Internally, externally, everything's good. Everything's fine. But when the Bible speaks of peace, it's actually more than that. It does refer to the absence of conflict. We'll see that. But I suggest to you this morning, it also points to the presence of something even better than just the absence of conflicts. The word peace, as is used in Isaiah 9, the Prince of Peace, and in fact, most times it's used in the Old Testament, is the word shalom. I'm sure you've heard the word shalom before, which means peace. The idea of that word shalom has the idea of wholeness or a completeness. And so the word, for example, would refer to a stone that has a whole shape. There's no cracks, there's no dents, there's no chips, there's nothing missing. It's a stone that's whole. That's the idea of the word. Or maybe a stone wall with no gaps in it, no broken pieces, no missing bricks. That wall is complete. Every piece is in there. Nothing is missing. That's the idea of the word shalom. The idea of this shalom peace is something complex that has a lot of pieces, but all of those pieces fit together and they're in this place of completeness. Lots of pieces, they're all together, they're whole, they're one, that's peace. How many of you have children or had children at one point that love Lego? All right. Okay, some of you still love Lego. I still like it when my kids get Lego gifts because that means I can play with them. I still like playing with Lego. It's okay. Some of you, your children, my kids, you know, I remember playing with it when I was growing up, and we didn't have all those complicated sets that they have now. All we had was a bucket full of bricks. And my dad would get down on the floor and play, and I'd be like four bricks together making a wall, and he's got like this beautiful airplane that he made. I don't know how he did it, but he loved playing with it. I was not so good. But now they have all of these complex, crazy sets with thousands of pieces. And I was reading just this week, actually, an article about a guy, I believe, over in China that built a Zootopia character out of Lego. You can't really see it from there maybe, but that's an impressive piece of Lego. Impressive pieces of Lego. There's a lot of it that make that up. I mean, that character took him over 3 days to build and had over, it was worth over $15,000. Can you imagine buying a Lego set? I mean, that's almost what they're worth now at the store, but that's $15,000 and 3 days to build. Here's the crazy thing. It opened up. They put it in this viewing area. They open it up, and within 1 hour, a child 5 to 6 years old, somewhere in that age, had knocked it over and destroyed the whole thing. 1 hour. And now this Lego character that took 3 days to build and $15,000 is totally destroyed. All these pieces shattered all over the place. That is a picture of no peace. I bet that guy had no peace either. And the parents probably had no peace. But the idea is this, it's complex. There's a lot of moving parts. And now they're all over the place. They're all scattered. It's not whole. That is no peace. The core idea of shalom, this peace that Jesus offers, is this. Life is complex. It's full of pieces. It's full of moving parts and relationships and situations and circumstances. And there's all these pieces in your life. And when any of those pieces are out of alignment, when any of those pieces are missing or broken or messed up, then there's a lack of peace in your life. Your life is no longer whole. It's no longer complete. It needs to be restored. It needs peace. It needs to bring peace means to make it complete again, to put those things back in, to make it whole. Listen, some of you walked through the doors this morning and things are out of alignment in your life. And things are missing. And there's no peace. And there's brokenness, maybe. Maybe you're at odds with someone. And you feel kind of like that Lego statue. Just broken. Pieces are missing. And you don't have that kind of peace, that wholeness, that completeness. Can I say to you this morning, and I'm kind of skipping ahead a little bit, but that's the kind of peace that God offers you this morning. That's the peace that the Prince of Peace gives. If you have the peace of God, you have peace with God, then no matter what's going on in the world around you, whether it's politically or economically or globally, no matter what's going on with your health or your relationships or your circumstances, no matter what's going on in your life, when you have this peace, you can say, it is well. I'm okay. I'm safe. Circumstances may be stormy, but the peace of God keeps your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. You may still be in the storm, yes, but you have stability and completeness, nothing missing, no matter what's going on in your life. You can say, man, I'm okay. I really am. Because I have the peace of God. All will be well. Everything is okay. God is going to make all this right. God is going to work all things together for good. This, friends, is a real hope that holds us together this morning. Listen, if you've been through hardship, if you've been through difficult times, and you have the peace of God, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, things are hard. Yeah, I'm still in the middle of the storm. But I know that everything is going to be all right because I have the peace of God in the midst of. That's the peace that God offers. That's the peace that he gives. So that's peace defined. But I want you to see, secondly, I hit the wrong button, peace pursued. Peace pursued. The funny thing is, or maybe I should say the ironic thing is, for a people and a world who wants peace so bad. Remember that song? What we really want is peace. No more war, freedom for a world that really wants peace that bad. And thinking about the condition of our world and how badly we need peace, we are actually really bad at creating it. We're really bad at finding it. We want peace, but we're anxious, and we worry, and we stress, and we're in this state of hostility and anger. Let me ask you this. How many of you had somebody angry at you this week? I find that the closer we get to Christmas, the more you go out, the angrier people seem to be, right? Because they're trying to get somewhere and do something. It seems like every time you get behind the wheel, there's somebody angry at somebody. Maybe I should ask this. How many of you were angry at somebody else this week? Don't raise your hand. It's okay. How many of you have been anxious this week? Or in a state of worry? Or hostility? The reality is, for people who want peace, we're really bad at making it. The world loves to talk about peace, but they have no idea how to make it, how to find it. So this is what the world does, apart from God. This is how the world says that you can have peace. Escape reality, right? Distract yourself from the mess that you're in, from the big issues. Don't think about them. Buy some insurance. Secure your investments. Buy some self-help books. Don't ask the big questions. Just relax. Let it go. Pretend that life isn't as bad as it actually is. Manage your anger. Manage your anxiety. Friends, that's not real peace. There's no foundation. There's no truth behind that. It crumbles. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13, the world is saying peace and safety, but then sudden destruction comes. At Jeremiah 8, verse 11, they're saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. The world's peace is so conditional. It's so easily lost. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." You can't find this kind of peace in the world. They don't have that kind of peace. They don't have a lasting peace. They're always chasing it and pursuing it and looking for it. They're doing everything they can to find it. And when they found it, to hold on to it and keep it. But it's so fragile. It's so easily lost. So what do we do? Thirdly and finally this morning, notice eternal peace. This is the point. If you are going to have peace, true, lasting peace, then you have to conquer anything that would threaten that peace. And that's where Jesus comes in. That's the essence of what Isaiah calls him, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Friends, God sent a Savior into this world that he might win, that he might secure a peace that we could never secure. God sent his Son that there could be peace between us and God, and it required a huge price. Right? Peace always requires a huge price. Are you thankful for the freedom that we have this morning, the peace that we have to be able to come and do this? That came at a huge cost. It came at a huge price. Peace is never free. The death that we were supposed to die was put on Jesus to get me to a place of peace with God. We read at the very beginning, Romans 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus conquered sin and death and the grave and the enemy that we could have peace. It cost him a great deal, but he conquered it for us. He won it for us. See, the implication of Christmas is this: you were not at peace with God. The implication is that you are in a place of rebellion and separation and defiance against him, that our Sin separated us from him. There was nothing that we could do to bring ourselves back to God. We were so sinful, so broken, at enmity with God. Just like that broken Christmas bulb or that smashed Lego statue, we were totally broken, totally incomplete. We had no hope. But now, through Jesus, we can have peace with God. We can be made whole, made complete again. Paul says it this way in Ephesians, "For you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace." Friends, that's the beauty of the Christmas story. Apart from Jesus, there is no peace. Apart from God, there is no peace. No peace with God, so no peace of God. It doesn't exist outside of God. But God came, a child, a Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. God refused to let you die in your sin. He wanted to save you, to bring you back into peace with himself, to make you whole and complete in him. The question this morning is simply this: do you have that peace? Do you have that peace? Not just peace around you, but first of all, do you have that peace within you? God sent his son that you specifically could have that peace. He wants you to be at peace. He wants to give you his peace. Listen, you're not like Humpty Dumpty, right? Who fell and broke into pieces and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put them back together again, right? That's not you. God can put you back together again. God can restore you and renew you and make you complete and take all the complex parts of your life and put them together to give you true, lasting, eternal peace. God can do that in your life this morning. But you have to come to him by faith. You have to accept it for yourself. In closing, let me, as we finish up, just say this to those of us who have peace with God. Maybe you have peace with God, but you're struggling to walk in it and enjoy it and really experience the peace of God in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and something is robbing you of the peace of God in your life. God wants to offer a peace that is beyond our human understanding. A peace that keeps, that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But maybe there's something in your life this morning that's robbing you of the peace that God wants to give you, that he wants you to experience. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's worry. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's fear or shame. Maybe it's anger towards another person or hostility or bitterness in your heart. Maybe you're trusting in yourself as opposed to trusting in the sovereignty of God and trying to meet your own needs as opposed to letting God meet your needs. Maybe you're trying to change things out of your control. Maybe you're busy or bitter or comparing yourself to someone else. I don't know what it is. But maybe you came in here this morning and you just don't have that peace in your life. Let me just encourage you this morning to let go of those things. You can't hold on to anger and bitterness and worry and sin in one hand and peace in the other. It doesn't work that way. Jesus is your peace. So find it in him. Bring him your brokenness and your fears and your unanswered questions and your heavy heart, and understand that no matter what goes on around you, no matter what circumstance you face, God is in control and God gives peace. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So, he goes on to say, trust in the Lord forever. Trust in him. Fix your eyes on him. Perfect peace for the one who keeps their eyes fixed on the Lord and trust in him. So ask for it. Trust him for it. Let go of everything else and find true, lasting peace in him this morning.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. My prayer is that God would use the preaching of his word in your life in a special way. If there's any way that we can be a help to you, please feel free to reach out at bibcinfo@gmail.com. Or if you're in the area, you're always welcome to come join us in worshiping the Lord together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday at 6:30. May the Lord bless you today.